I'm a great recovering alcoholic. My name's Paul Lee. If you're new or you're coming back, welcome home. You're off the hook, and that's what was told to me a long time ago. Listen, I'm feeling pretty juiced up. How many people, like, come here all the time to hear Russell? I'm just curious. I'm curious. What did I do? Those are my, that's what I needed my notes. Well, let me share something. He's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Let me hear it louder.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. You will no longer be needing to hear Russell. No, I'm just putting this out to you, okay? He has you all convinced that you need to come here every Friday night from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, 12 weeks, 3 months, right? I mean, is that what he says? And then you'll be magically healed? Not true. What day is today? Does anybody know?
Friday.
Date. It's the 1st of May?
Yeah.
And the meeting started at 8:10. 7:10. I asked what time it ends. They said 8:05. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's now 7:20. 7:25. Thank you. Yeah, that's how I got here. I got thrown out of kindergarten. That's how I got here. So 7:25. Bruce, you help me. You're good with numbers.
Yeah.
7:25 to 8:05 is how long, Bruce? 40 minutes. How many steps are there?
12
steps. So 12, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave 4 minutes left over. 12 into 36 is 3 minutes per step. By the time you leave tonight, you can tell all your sponsors, the owners, or wherever you're living. I mean, because you guys all live in places you don't know, right? Most of you. That's, by the way, one of the indicators that you have an issue with booze and drugs. But anyway, by the end of tonight, you will have gone through all 12 steps, and much more importantly, these two things. Number one, it's baseball season, a lot of sports on, hockey, basketball, playoffs, etc., etc. So Friday nights, you do not need to come here anymore. So I'm serious. Do whatever you got to do, because you're going to hear the whole deal right now, okay? So, and Russell will get over it. Believe me, he speaks somewhere every freaking night. So he'll listen to himself on Friday. Here's the deal. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're just tired of this merry-go-round you're on, we have a solution. Okay? And we're just going to go right through it, real simple. You know, when AA started, they didn't say, oh, take your time, go through it in months, or seek your spot. They did it in one day. So right now, here, we're going to do it in 1 hour.
40 minutes.
Thank you. Who was that? You are like the summation of every one of my ex-wives. Anything I said, take the rest. That's okay. We'll talk afterwards. Anyway, seriously, in case nobody told you, you're off the hook. And what does that mean? The war is over. And we can laugh again. I don't know about you, but when I was out there, I was not doing much laughing. And here we can laugh and have fun and have a whole group of people equally as desperate, and we desperately get better together. So the first step, we said, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. The first half of that step is a truth. A truth is true the minute you get here. It's going to be true till the day you die. That will never change. You're powerless over booze and drugs. That will never change. The second half of that first step, that our lives had become unmanageable, that's a fact. And a fact can and does change. And it's very simply, that's why the steps are in order, is because it seeks you or leads you into the second step, which is where you find a manager. Okay, we came to believe that a manager or a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And if you're here and you're sober and you put together any time, or you've been bouncing in and out of this joint, which so many of you have, well, to pick up is insane. And I don't say that in a bad way. I just say that's just the way it is. So that is really the only piece of sanity for a very long time that you need to get. No matter what, you don't pick up. You get a sponsor. You get involved in this thing. And when people say to me, I don't know if I could do the work, let me tell you what work is. I'm not going to tell my story here because it's not important. I'll just tell you one piece of work in my story. Let's pick a year. Okay. 1965. Now, many of you weren't born, but I was. I was 17 years old. The Beatles came to Shea Stadium in Queens, which is where I'm from, and we stormed the fences. And what really happened is I woke up 15 years later. That's my story. Now, I could tell you about all the jails, the mental hospitals, the suicide attempts, the ruining of relationships, the desperation, the police, the jails, the addiction, the methadone, the heroin, the Harlem, the low. I could tell you all of that. But basically, I could sum it up in two words. I lost. Everybody here, if you're sitting here, use those two words, we lost, and you'll be just fine. You know, my sponsor, one of my sponsors, I've had four sponsors, and I have one today, but one of my sponsors, very early on, he would stand up here at the podium, God rest his soul, Ray Allen, and he would say, you know, you remind me of a 6'6" wrestler who married a 5-foot-tall little girl. And they went away on their honeymoon. And right from the beginning, this guy wanted to establish the tone and the rules for this relationship. So he took off these long overalls and he threw them across the bed at her. And he says, here, why don't you put those on? She says, what do you mean? I'd be swimming in them. They're 3 times my size. He says, that's right. I want you to know from day one who wears the pants in this family. So she sat down on the bed and she thought for a minute and she reached under her tiny little miniskirt and she pulled off her tiny little panties and she threw them across the bed to him and she said, here, why don't you get into those? And he looked at her, he said, I can't get into those, obviously. She says, that's right. And you never will until you change your attitude. And that's the bottom line, and that's how you get sober. Anything you think was real or right, forget it. And anything that you want to change, we can help you. Anyway, you've been putting strings in my face for a long time. Anyway, so we get to the second step, and we come here, we're unmanageable, we're unbearable. Just out of curiosity, I'm looking around here, and how many of you people, and I really don't know, because I don't come here as often to this meeting, how many of you people are living in a house, a rehab, a halfway house, a three-quarter way house, a sober house, a house where you don't own it? How many people? That's a freaking shock. Now, let me ask you this other question. How many people here have ever been arrested? Okay. Well, so here's what I want to tell you. First of all, if you were arrested, you've been to jail, obviously. Second of all, thank you. That's the guy from this morning. Second of all, I get so sidetracked. That's why you can't do that. I'm a mental patient. I had shock treatment in the state hospital in New York City. Any quick, sudden movement, I freak out. So please, stop. I just ask, either be here with me or get out. That's all I ask. Okay? People texting, I stop, I get nuts, I can't take it. So anyway, what are the three ends to this disease? jailed?
Institution of jail.
Exactly. Well, let me hear that again. Jailed?
Institution of jail.
Okay. So you've all been to jail. In case they didn't tell you, these halfway houses, rehabs, those are institutions. The way you can tell you're in an institution, if you're not sure, is that about 6 o'clock at night or whenever it is, you hear someone from somewhere say, "It's time to get on the bed." Now, if you hear that where you're living, that's an institution. And the reason you're there is because it's not safe for you to be in society. So they are currently managing your life because it's unmanageable. Okay, we're all on the same page there? Okay. So here we got the first thing we don't pick up. We come to believe. I don't care how you come to believe it. I don't care what you come to believe in. Just come to believe in something. That you're not it. When you look in the mirror, that you are not the power greater than yourself. Because if you're sitting here, a little shot glass, a little glassine bag, anything like that has kicked your ass. And that's a power greater than yourself. Okay, so whatever it takes, my first power, someone had a t-shirt on, it said, "I can't, we can." That was a very, very long time ago. By the grace of God and you people, I still can't do it alone. With you people, I can do anything. There's absolutely nothing I can't do. So that's what it's about, man. Get into this deal. I look at this set. I watch people come in and out, and they use their parents' insurance card like a Black American Express card. I swear to God, I say, "Well, I don't like this place. I'm going up the road because they'll give me TV. They'll give me chicken dinners. They'll let me have breakfast in bed. I mean, what are you kidding me with the life and death? And you're going from insurance to insurance." This is a deadly disease, killer disease. Out of curiosity, how many people in this room know someone that died from the disease of addiction? Another shock, because that's what happens. And it's getting worse, it's not getting better. So if you're here, you don't need to leave. And that's the key. Relapse is not a prerequisite. If you relapse, we love you, we welcome you back. The problem is that a couple of weeks ago, this young kid in Delray, who I was working with, he's had almost 3 months. He was coming to hear me do the steps in Boca. He went back to Boston and he overdosed. 28 years old. God rest his soul. One of the nicest, most talented people on the planet. And he's dead. His whole freaking life ahead of him. Please, give yourself a break. Let us love you back to life. Really, that's what it is. Let us love you back to life. Fred C., my sponsor, said to me all the time, and this is the way he started every meeting. He said, "Has anyone told you they loved you yet today?" And he said, "I hope so. But if not, let me be the first. I love you." Okay, and I love you. I don't be wanting to get no texts from you tonight. Because my wife's been checking my phone. Okay, so now we get to the third step. We're not going to get too mumbo-jumbo. It seems like real deep. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Forget it. No big deal. It's a decision. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what that decision is? You're going to ask someone to help you through the rest of the steps. You're going to ask someone to guide you. It's a sponsor. Get a sponsor. People say, "Well, I'm embarrassed to ask someone to sponsor." Well, I'll tell you what. Were you embarrassed when you were walking around with no clothes on Federal Highway? Were you embarrassed when you threw up in the car? Were you embarrassed when the cops had you handcuffed on the side of the road on the TV show Cops? I mean, really, look at it. I know, but I'm embarrassed to ask someone to help me. Give me a freaking break. What are you kidding me? Life and death. If you want life and you want laughter, man, come in. Come in because we need you. The rehab people, the treatment center people, they don't need you. We need you. We need you right here. Come here and get a freaking life. because I'll tell you what, I look at my life, and that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. But the reality is not humanly possible what's happened to me. Since I'm not humanly possible. And we read here tonight that there's one who has all power and that one is God. May you find him now. So I know that what happened to me is not humanly possible. A, getting here after being dead and all of the things I was in the middle of. And B, staying here and C, where I'm at today. It's not even possible. Okay, the first three steps, because I'm looking at the clock, and I will not overdo this, because, but just keep this one thing in mind, please, and please humor me. Nobody come here next Friday. No, please, I really don't even care if you go to a meeting, but just don't come to listen to him. No, I'm just serious, okay? Just humor me. Tell your treatment centers, your rehab, that no, there's no meeting next Friday. But there's no meeting for the next 3 months. You don't need to be here tonight. Just go watch the ball games, the fight tomorrow night, big fight, pay-per-view, hundreds of millions of dollars, big fight. We're in the fight. Every one of us has been to Manny Pacquiao's house. Okay? And we've gotten the shit kicked out of us by Floyd Mayweather. And I didn't need to pay $200,000 for a ringside seat to watch my wife go down the tube. You don't have to go any further. The first three steps, you're done. You're here, you're done. And now starts the work. A little bit of work. Not the work like walking over the Triborough Bridge when it's closed during a snowstorm so you can get to Harlem because you have no choice. That's work. What this is picking up a pen and a paper. You have a sponsor. You have a guide. He's going to help you and just start writing. And there's no right way to do it. There's no wrong way to do it. You're not going to do it once, only God willing. And, you know, like in here, it talks about Mr. Brown and Mrs. Brown. I don't know, but just write a life story. Right, I'm always looking for Mrs. Brown. I never met her. If I met her, she would have been on my fifth step, brother. That's what happened. Right, you're all laughing. You know what? So you write a life story. That's what I did. And then you pick someone to share. And that's a sponsor. And what's a sponsor? You know, for you old people, you remember they had this thing called AAA, American Automobile Association. Anybody remember that?
Yeah, they still have it.
They still have it? It's not a porn site. It's a thing.
I got the letters.
Easy. In any case, what happened back in the day, if you were going to take a trip from Florida to New York, or New York to Florida, you call up AAA, and they look, I want to go from Bayside, Queens to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And they would send you this thick booklet that had all of these pages over and over. And you'd open it up, and it says, all right, start here and take 95, the Jersey Turnpike and the bridge. And now they would say, go around Baltimore. And then they would just one of my topical statements. But normally you would go through Baltimore, Washington, but now they would tell you to take the beltway around. But here's what they do, is they tell you on this thing where the rough roads are. They tell you where you can go a full speed limit. They tell you where you can get gas and where you can get lodging. They tell you where there's construction. They tell you where you have to be careful because there's avalanches, whatever that. But the bottom line is, what they do is they guide you from point A to point B. And why is that? Because they've been down the road. That's what a sponsor is, to guide you from point A to point B. He's gotten sober, he's been sober, he knows how to stay sober, and you don't. And so you ask him, can you help me? And that's really as simple as that. And the fifth step is we admitted to God. Well, you already admitted it. You wrote it. God already knows that. And we admitted to ourselves, well, we already know that. We wrote it. Now comes the tricky thing. Why would I have to tell someone else about it? That's where the real healing is. To another human being, that means that I'm opening myself up. I'm bearing my soul. I'm cutting myself down completely. Why? Because I want the relief and I want the power to enter into me. And the only way I can do that is by clearing out the blockage. And the only way I can clear out the blockage is by sharing it with another human being. And it's magical. I mean, there were these old time people, say Socrates or Plato or Aristotle, one of those old guys that you all failed school about, but they really, no, one of them, I don't remember which one, said the following: an unexamined life is a life not worth living. Well, that was for the rest of the world. I'm going to tell you something about alcoholics. An unexamined life and you won't be living. For us, it's a necessity because of what we've done to get here. In order to stay here, we need to get rid of the wreckage of the past. And I'll tell you this other point. There was once this girl, newly sober, way, way back, and she had a sponsor. She also had this problem, a sex problem. You know, sex is a big problem with all of us. Would everyone agree?
Yeah.
Thank you. Women?
Yeah.
I know that. But here's the key. So she had a real problem with sex, and it's really starting to destroy her. She's sober, and she goes into meetings, and she can't leave without some guy. And it's like really starting to kick her ass. So finally, she's desperate. She's destitute. She calls her sponsor up. She's driving off from a meeting, and she says, "Mary, I don't know what to do. I can't take this anymore. Really, what should I do?" So Mary says to her, "What I would suggest, believe this or not, this book was written 80 years ago, and the sex part is on page 69. I didn't make the rules. That's where it is." So she calls her sponsor up, and she's driving home from this meeting, and her sponsor says, "Well, Mary, when you get home, what I want you to do..." "Wait, what is this? This isn't a real big book."
"They moved it.
Are you serious? They moved it. Who's got a real big book? Anybody? Oh my God, are you serious? They moved..." "I can't believe this." "Yeah, no, I know you know what I'm going to say. But..." "Yeah, but that I wanted to do both of them." "Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Chased it." "Thank you, thank you." "They changed it. They moved it. They've been working perfectly for 80 years. They moved it." Anyway, here's the story. So she sends Mary to page 69 of the big book. And on 69, it just simply says, you know, we cry out, some people say sex and more sex, some people don't know the right thing, the wrong. And then it says, basically, the summation is that God alone can judge our sex situation. That's really what it says. And it says, some are passionate about it, some yell, some scream, but there's no right or wrong. That's really what it says. No, I mean, ask Molly. I mean, that's really, and I know her a long, long time, but... Oh, you too. I know you too. But the bottom line is, this girl Mary got home, and you know she was so confused. She thought her sponsor said page 96, not page 69. Now it shouldn't really matter that much, but let me share with you what's on page 96 in the real big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Keep in mind, this chick's calling her sponsor because she's devastated that she can't stay away from the men in Alcoholics Anonymous. She's trying to get sober so desperately. And her sponsor tells her 69. She gets home and she pulls out the big book and she thinks her sponsor said page 96. Well, here's what it says. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond. Page 96, top of the page. Search out another alcoholic and try again. Ladies, I want you to listen carefully to this. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. Now every one of your children was born desperately seeking. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. I love making jokes of this thing. I wear the world like a loose garment. I take my sobriety seriously. Nothing else is. You know, back in the Reader's Digest, when they used to have that, it used to say, laughter is the best medicine. They have found out 100 years later, thousands of psychiatrists later, it's 100% true. It clears our endorphins. It gets us up. When I laugh, I'm like on another channel. It's almost like smoking crack or whatever you say. No, matter of fact, someone last night was telling me about this thing. I'm sure that half of you know about this, called Flocka. Yo, you got the Flocka, bro? Flocka. I had a connection named Flocka, but I never had a Flocka. All right, so now we get to the sixth step. And the sixth step, straight on through to the 12th, is about getting rid of the garbage, getting in touch with God, and trying to improve our contact with God, because you wouldn't be sitting here if there wasn't a God. Okay, and like they say, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And all of us are here because of I look at my life as a series of coincidences that can't be explained. And you know what? That's what a miracle is. Something that can't be explained by the course of nature. It can't be. So then we get to the sixth step. And it really says the sixth step is we were entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character. Have him remove our defects, something like that. And you know what? No one's ever entirely ready. You're ready. When you're in pain, you get somewhat rest. That's the only thing that gets me to look at myself is when I'm in pain. Because when I'm skipping through the life and I'm doing the deal and I got the babe and I got the cash and I got the car, I'm not doing any steps. I promise you that. Pain is what gets us here. The pain of our addiction and our alcoholism. We stay here, we get good, we get happy. And pain is necessary to let us stay here. Okay, you know, in the 12 and 12, which is over there, in the first line of the sixth step, it says the following. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. 20-something years ago, I was doing the steps at the Lambda Club, a gay AA club in Fort Lauderdale. And I said that line, and I looked around the room, that this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And I said, but in this case, we may need a crowbar. I'm not judging, I'm just saying. Right, call the NAA, call somebody, bring me up, indict me, charge me, something. What do you mean, I care? What are you gonna do, throw me out? No one throw me out of here. The seventh step, I work alone. The seventh step, it says we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. My sponsor always said to me, the shortest step in the entire program. It's only 7 words. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. That's the entire message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Clear away what's blocking me from you. Clear away what's keeping me from you, which is keeping me from you. Because my defects and my shortcomings block me from the sunlight of the Spirit and block my spirit from your spirit. Because what happens here in Alcoholics Anonymous is our spirits connect. What happens here in Alcoholics Anonymous is the desperation of me meets with the desperation of you, and together we can have that gift of desperation, which is G-O-D. So I like that. I'm going to take you on the road with me. No, I'm saying, no, but you got to bring some more of your girls, not just like one of these things. You got to do the whole thing. So, and that's what it takes to get to Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what it takes to stay here. The gift of desperation. Today, I'm equally as desperate as wanting to be here. Not because I'm dying on disability like I was when I got here. I wouldn't want to give this up for anything on planet Earth. Anything. No amount of money, no amount of cars, no amount of homes, no amount of recognition would I give up for the way I feel in the morning when I get up. I jumped out of bed this morning. 5:30 in the morning. Because I did a survey. 95% of everyone who dies lying down. I jumped up, let's get this party started. What, are you kidding me? And then I go about and I try to make it a little happier for everybody that I come across. And considering that I was such a miserable cancer in the lives of everybody I came across in the past, if I could bring a smile to someone's face, my God's happy with that. It's all he wants, man. We come here, we're all takers. And we stay here a little while. It's not a selfish program. It's a selfless program. Thinking of yourself less. And for an alcoholic and a drug addict who's consumed with thinking about ourselves, that's quite a miracle. If I can think of myself less and think of you more, and that's really all that this thing's about. That's all it's about. Then we get to the amends, to making right. What does an amend mean? Correcting, bringing back to the way it was. And it says we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends. No, no, he had the phone out. Then she got up. It was a double. No, no, his phone, she jumped. And I don't know, I thought it was like an ISIS attack or something. In any case. So, and then I forget what I do. So we made a list of all persons we had harmed. We became willing to make amends to them all. What does that simply mean? Where are these people? Well, they're all written down in the fourth step. You wrote about them. You got them on paper. You shared it with your sponsor. You did the whole thing. So now you got to go and correct it. You got to make amends. Repair the damage. Doesn't have to be done overnight. They have columns. You do the right nows, the maybes, the nevers, the next life, whatever ones you do. But you need a sponsor to do it. You need a sponsor to do it. The ninth step simply follows the eighth step. All of these steps, by the way, they're like get ready and go. Second step, get ready. Third step, go. Fourth step, get ready. Fifth step, go. Sixth step, get ready. Seventh step, go. Eighth step, get ready. Ninth step, go. What's the ninth step? We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Coincidentally, after that step comes this cute little thing which no one really understands. You just read it at meetings, and it's called promises. And I don't know what page it's on in the new book, but in the old book, it's on page 83 and 84. And it says if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, meaning the first 9 steps, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. It's not rocket science, it's just saying it in black and white. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We're going to comprehend the word serenity, and we'll know peace.
No matter how far down the scale you've gone, you're going to see how your experience can benefit others, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are real things. They're not imagined. They're not put in there just for something else not to understand. They're real, and they really happen if you suit up and you show up in Alcoholics Anonymous. So now you're feeling pretty good. You've made amends. And now we get to the 10th step. And what does it say? That we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. Well, just listen to the words. Continued means we did it somewhere. Well, where did we do an inventory? Thank you very much. Well, you know what? I probably could have been a teacher if I ever graduated 7th grade. Do they have any teachers that, like, didn't go to school? You apply for that job. That's if you can do it. In any case, so you obviously took your inventory and you cleared yourself out. You're feeling pretty good. And the most natural thing is to want to continue it because you don't want to let that garbage back up. So we continued to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. You could do it daily, you could do it nightly, you could do it weekly, you could do it quarterly. It doesn't matter when. I'm going to tell you today, when I automatically do it, is if I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling great, and then by like noon or 2 in the afternoon, I'm not feeling quite right. I look at my day. What happened? What and where did this happen that altered this mood of excitement and happiness and joy, and just made me feel like less than all of a sudden, and so I don't understand it. And what I do is I have then traced back my day. I continued to take a personal inventory. I saw what happened during the day. More often than not, I was wrong. More often than not, I did something that stepped on the toes of others. And what happens is I need to promptly admit it. Now, sometimes when you're new, promptly could mean 2 years. But today, I've been sober quite a while, and promptly means promptly. Only because I can't sit with it anymore. We get to the 11th step. Another very simple step. It's got a lot of words, but just follow the words. We sought means we looked for. How did we do this? We saw it through prayer and meditation. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening. So it's telling us what we're doing, we're seeking, and how we're seeking through prayer and meditation. Now, what are we doing with this? We're seeking to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Now, how can you improve or seek to continue to do something unless you started something? Where did we start this? Who knows that answer? One.
Three, two,
the day you admit you're powerless and you walk in this freaking door and you stay sober for 48 hours, that's when you're starting to come to believe and God is taking over. So obviously as you're getting on in the steps and you're getting a life and there's less people looking for you and you're paying your bills and you may even have a job and all of that other stuff, then of course you want to improve this. Of course you want to find out more about the reason you got here and the reason you're alive. So it's improving our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, not as I understand Him or whatever I am. As we, the beautiful thing about every time I mention God in these steps, it's in italics. That means that it's all inclusive. It's not for Christians or Jews or Muslims, but it's for everyone. And it's however you understand God, this thing works. That's why there's 100 12-step programs. 100. And I, by the way, I qualify for every one of them. No, I mean, I'm not kidding you. There's narcotics, emotions, sex, all of these programs. And I qualify for every one except one. No, I even brought it. I printed it up. No, I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? This is a 12-step program. They have meetings in New York City. I really want to go there one day. And it's called Lip Balm Anonymous. Now, you think I'm kidding. And I'm not goofing on someone who may be here, like, after having ripped off Eckerd's for all the lip balms. But I'm telling you right now, there's 43 questions. A Lip Balm Anonymous self-test for lip balm addiction. I could just see how my story would have changed. Walking with these big overcoats through every drugstore in Lower Manhattan. I need some of that raspberry. I can't do without the raspberry. Anyway, every other one, I really want to go. They have meetings, schedule, everything. When I go to New York, I promise I'm going to go to one so I can come back and tell you. No, I'm serious. I may meet my next wife there. Oh, you're a lip balmer. Yeah, me too. Let's go for it. Lip balm. Anyway, so now we get to step 12. And everybody here, I don't care where you're from. I don't care whether you're from a broken home, whether you're adopted, whether you had foster parents, whether you're from a mansion. I don't care where you're from or how dysfunctional your family was. Everyone here was 12-stepped by someone. Whether it was the courts, whether it was your grandmother or somebody praying for you, whether it was some guy on the street, whether it was whatever, everyone here was 12-stepped by someone. And this is what is our responsibility to stay here. And it says it up here. Whenever anyone reaches out for the hand of AA, for that I'm responsible. And the 12 steps simply says, having had a spiritual awakening, which is a total change of character, belief, and understanding. In everything you understood, believed, the day you got here, everything has changed. So having had a spiritual awakening, not as a result, as the result of these steps. Which steps? The 12 steps. We try to carry this message. What message? This message. To other alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And you know what? The journey is something that they said to me when I got here. Fasten your seatbelt. Because you're in for the ride of your life. I promise you something. My sober date is February 12, 1980. I walked into that door, the 101 Club of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've never left 35 years later. Thanks for listening.